Okay, so I guess we, Okay, so I guess we left off with, we had a bunch of questions, but the ones we're going to focus on now is basically the system of the Rambam regarding when one is obligated to give up their life for Kiddush Hashem and when not. Okay, so there are basically three cases. Okay, the first case is if someone tells you to violate one of the Averas in the Torah for his own hana, for his own pleasure. He wants you to, whatever, he wants you to plow for him on Shabbos, or whatever, anything, somehow it will benefit him. So then the halacha is, it depends what Avera it is. If it's one of the big three, then yeah, which is killing certain sexual crimes and Avodah Zarah, so then you have to give your life. If it's anything else, you basically violate. Okay? That's the first this first case. Second case is if he tells you in order to cause you to violate the Torah, in order to get you to violate, specifically in order to break the Torah. So then he says it depends. If it's in private, so again, if it's a big three, no matter what, okay, no matter what you have to give up your life. But if he's basically doing it in order to break down the Torah, then even if it's the other ones, other Averos, if it's in front of 10 Jews, so then you have to give up your life. Okay, it's perhaps, yeah. So in front of 10 Jews, you have to give up your life. Not. Okay? And that's the second case. And the third case, if he's doing it, if it's a Shas HaShmar, which is a time of persecution. Okay, which is that some sort of a king, or evil king, or like in Nebuchadnezzar or whatever, is making a zera of destruction, persecution on the Jews in order to knock out their religion, or some mitzvahs. So then, basically, you have to give up your life for any avera, even if it's in private. Okay, any avera, even if it's in private. Okay, fine. Or right, even if it's right. Good. So that's basically the system. Okay, that's basically the system. So the question is, what's the svara for the system? Okay, why is it, for instance, in the big three, it's any time? Why is it that, if he's doing it because he's a violator, it has to be in front of 10? Why is it that when it's Shas HaShmad, even if it's not in front of 10? Okay, Shas HaShmad again, time of persecution. Okay, and we also asked, I guess, a question, what's the deal with in front of 10? Why is it in front of 10 Jews? If you think the idea is public, it should be in front of 10 Goyim, or in front of 10 people, whatever. I mean, what's Pshat in 10 Jews? Why should it be 10 Jews? If anything, you think it should be more non-Jews. That's, after all, who we're trying to do Kiddush Hashem towards, trying to make Kiddush Hashem to the world. So in front of 1,000 non-Jews, and that's defined as, then that's defined as not as sinner. It's defined as in private. I mean, what's the sense to that? But 10 Jews, that's it? That's public? What's the, that's kind of part of that system, I guess. Just one other question. I might as well get another question. The question was by Bnei Noach. The Gemara asked if someone tells a Ben Noach to violate one of the mitzvahs, let's say about to do Avodah Zarah, whether he has to give up his life for Avodah Zarah or not. So does anybody? The Gemara wasn't sure, but the Gemara said definitely the only time he would have to is if it's in public. Okay, definitely only if it's in public. Public meaning 10 Jews, not just 10 Bnei Noach, 10 Jews. Okay, so the question is, what's the Ibaya? Why is it only in public? I mean, by a Jew, it's even in private. If he tells you about Zara, it's even in private. It's not only in public. So why is it when it comes to the guy, it's clear that it's only in public? And then also, why is it that by Ben Noach, it's not in front of 10 Ben Noach? If you tell me Ben Noach is in the whole parsha, the whole area of the Kiddush Hashem, so then it should be in front of 10 Ben Noach. Why is it only in front of 10 Jews? Right? Okay. So that's, we're not ready for that yet, but that was that's kind of how we got here. That intro. Well, so I'm thinking like this, is that some parts are similar to what you guys are saying, other parts are a little different. But for starters, and I'll show you why I'm going to say this in a little bit, but I think that really you can break down the Kiddush Hashem into two classes. Okay? You can break these two, I guess there are three groups, really, but I think you break it down into two different types of Kiddush Hashem. Okay? And that is the first one. It's the first one separated from the last two. Okay? Okay, and that is that the first one to me seems to be, is that, and I guess my justification, or part of the justification for doing it, is that the first one seems definitely doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. No questions, right? For sure. The ones that are the B'tzin of the big three. It's only the other ones which apply, which could theoretically apply to Bnei Noach. Okay? So I'm thinking there's two separate classes, really. The first thing is that there's a Kiddush Hashem, and the Rambam said something like this in the Sefer Mitzvot. Namely, is that the Jewish nation, there's a Kiddush Hashem, is that in that we, our lives, we live our lives according to Chachma, right? And that's part of the whole system of Torah, right? But not only do we live our lives according to Chachma, but the very decision about whether we should live or die is also determined by a system of Chachma. Okay, like even down to our own giving up our lives or protecting our lives is governed by the same system of Chachma that all the mitzvahs are governed by. You know, so all the mitzvahs are Kiddush Hashem. I mean, the whole Torah is, when the world sees the Torah, they'll say, Rakam Chacham V'Novan HaGag Adal Zah. Look at this wise and discerning nation. So the whole Torah Kiddush Hashem is, the whole Torah is Kiddush Hashem. I heard Rebbe say it once, is that, that's why he said it, the way he said it, but I'll show you his proof, but the way he asked it, he says, what's the most fundamental mitzvah in the Torah? Okay, it's a funny question, what does that mean, fundamental? But he said Kiddush Hashem. Because he says the whole thing, and in terms of Kiddush Hashem is Nisod HaTorah. Right? Why is it Nisod HaTorah? Nisod HaTorah is ideas about God and knowledge of God and all kinds of philosophical ideas. Like, why is it Nisod HaTorah? He said, it is the mitzvah, which is the foundation of the Torah. The whole Torah is a system which is for the purpose of Kiddush Hashem. That's what the whole Torah is. It's a system which brings about through Tariq mitzvahs, the world will gain knowledge of God. This is a mitzvah, though. The particulars of this mitzvah is like pinpointing a specific facet of Kiddush Hashem, but the whole Torah is for the purpose of Kiddush Hashem. I don't know. He meant it in a certain sense. I mean, I don't know if he means more important than knowledge of God or, you know, like not important, but like insofar as like the system of Tayag, it's like the system of Tayag is a system of Kiddush Hashem. And this, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, is taking the concept of Kiddush Hashem and giving it like a specific form. Okay? But I'm saying is the system of Kiddush, the Kiddush Hashem takes place through, like the Torah says, they'll see that we're a wise and discerning nation and see our mitzvot, the whole idea that we live our lives according to Chachma. And it's based upon, the whole Torah is based upon the truth and knowledge and Chachma. So the saying is that I think that this first halacha is basically saying that even the decision about whether we should live or die is based on Chachma. Okay? And for instance, there are other religions which also give their lives for their religion. But it's not Chachma. For instance, we don't just give our lives for the Torah. There's a system of Chachma. Certain mitzvahs we do, certain mitzvahs we don't. It's not just fanatical religion that says, just kill yourself no matter what. It says, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. So that's why, for instance, the Rambam says, he says, the Goy forces you to violate the Torah. He says, in general, he says, we don't violate the Torah. I'm sorry, we violate the Torah. We don't give our lives. That's for Chayban. So it's not just like, it's a good point there, that's in his first instance of what the example of Kiddush Hashem is not that we kill it, we give up our lives, but is that we save our lives. So it's in the system of Torahs, we have to think about it, giving up our lives. And if it's a mitzvah which is a regular mitzvah, then we say, look, for Chayban, the system of the Torah is a system of life. And you'll just give up your life in order to cut short the rest of your life for the system. The system recognizes the objective of a life. But when it comes to severe mitzvahs, of the most severe, the big three, then we do. We realize that these are not worth living. These are worth giving up our life. So there's a Kiddush Hashem, which the ultimate Kiddush Hashem comes about when, because again, the degree that a person is committed to a system is like it's more indicative about their commitment to the system. Whereas if a person is willing to do actions, it's okay, that's fine. But if a person is in the area of life and death, a person is using Chachma, that's a testament to the truth and the commitment of the participants to the system. Oh, so this thing has nothing to do with being in front of anybody or not in front of anybody. It's not an idea in front of anybody, it's in private. You know, just the guy. It's just that the idea is that we give, that there, that our decision whether we should live or die is based on a certain system. And that we should live, if it comes down to a clash between the system and life, we decide with chachma whether it's worth living. Is it worth living and eating pork? Yes. Is it worth living and bowing down to an idol? No. Is it worth living and killing? No. Is it worth living in the rails? No. Is it worth living in every Shabbos? Yes. So in other words, it just, the idea is that the, that our decision whether we should live and break the system or die and keep the system is based on chachma, and that's based upon the, I guess, the severity of the mitzvahs. And we learned from the Limudim which mitzvahs are such importance that basically you can never, it's never intelligent, it's never rational to violate, even if it means your life. So it doesn't, it's not because necessarily we're showing, it's not necessarily even because we're showing people something. I mean, it's not necessarily. I mean, I guess there's always going to be the guy who's forcing you to do it. But it's an idea is, the Kiddush Hashem is that our system is such that halacha, and the same system of halacha and rationality and discernment applies to the very area of giving up your life. And it reminds me of like Socrates. Is the fact that he was willing to give his life for his philosophy indicated the his commitment to his philosophy. He was a rational guy who was not just a fanatic. He wasn't making rash decisions about his life, you know. And he was clearly a thinker. And he stuck to his philosophy even when it came to the question of whether he should give up his life or not. And he had a rational thought process which led him to the conclusion he should give up his life. And no one's going to interpret that as a fanatical act because he's not a fanatical guy. He's clearly a well thought out guy. Everything he does is the highest degree of rationality. And if he's giving up his life, it means that his philosophy is totally committed to his rational philosophy. So he says, a Jew gives up his life, based on a Jew who are known as the people of the book and of knowledge and of chachma, and then they give up their lives, sometimes, not a lot of times, you see, this is a system where chachma, the same type of chachma and commitment to chachma pervades every single area of life, even giving up your own life. But, as a system, there are other religions which just are, where people are viewed, they're not known, or they don't come off as being a rational religion, or based upon a system of chachma. Of course, you can get people to be in some sort of fanatical spell to give up their lives, that's just an emotional state. But no one's going to say Socrates was a fanatic, and no one's going to say Rikiva was a fanatic. There are people who live their lives according to systems of chachma. So the system of chachma of the Torah goes so far as that even giving up your life is chachma. We don't always give up our life, in fact, usually we don't. But there are times where we do. And where we decide, listen, these are the mitzvahs, we simply can't violate them. It doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter. So you're doing it with your own pleasure, it doesn't matter. We can't do these things. It's not a demonstration, it doesn't have to be in public, it doesn't have to be. It's just that the chachma of the Torah is such that these three things can't be violated. Like, for instance, as a simple example, I mean, it's easier to see, I guess. Let's say killing. So the idea, why can't you kill if someone kills, you know, puts a gun to your head? Because they say, is that who's to say that your blood is redder than his blood? Someone's going to say, I'm going to kill you if you don't kill him. So how are you supposed to decide? It's like, endoch nefesh min nefesh. Who are you to decide that you're going to live and he's going to, you know, you're going to live and he's going to die? So that's chachma. Chachma dictates that you simply can't do it. Now, you rather live? I don't know, my blood's my blood. I'd rather live. Yeah, right. That's the way your average emotional person decides. But chachma dictates that that's not rational to go and kill the other guy. So you don't do it. So that's like an example of like, the decision whether you should live is when life and death doesn't scare us. I mean, it doesn't throw us off of our commitments. Our commitments are commitments no matter what. And when we violate the Torah because we have a gun to our head, it doesn't indicate that we don't care about eating pig. It doesn't come off that we're not committed enough to the Torah that we're willing to we're going to cave in to our priorities. Because if that were the case, then we would cave in even when it comes to the big three. But the fact that we don't, you see, that has nothing to do with that. It's just that the Torah values life, and therefore it doesn't say every mitzvah is worth dying for. So it's like, in the system, we are willing to die for our commitments, but there are priorities. Torah values life. So life is sometimes more important than a particular mitzvah. But it's not more important than the big three. Now this, by the way, is only by Jews. Because that's the idea. The system of this idea is that Jews live their lives by a system of chachma through and through. That's even to the point of their own life. Goyim don't do that. That doesn't apply to Benoch. Benoch has seven laws. He doesn't have his whole life as pervaded by, you know, decided by system of chachma. He doesn't use chachma when he decides what he's going to eat. I mean, maybe he doesn't eat, you know, every manachai, but that's just not the whole system of the Shemitz Menorah. That's not his system. The idea is that Kal Yisrael is a nation whose entire lives is based on chachma. Even the ultimate, the final decision of life and death is based on chachma. That's it. There's no area which is devoid from rational decision making, and that's even the area which, in general, a person's going to, you know, cave in on. Okay, so that's the first one. Okay, that's what I said, is the first class, and that class is only by Jews, definitely not by Bnei Noach. Okay, now then, so that's the basic halacha. Then you have there's another facet to Kiddush Hashem. Okay, and that is that if someone is attempting to destroy the religion, okay, attempting to destroy the Torah, okay, you can't let that happen. Okay, it's a different idea. It says that you must give your life to protect the religion. Okay, which means that if the religion is in danger, as the religion, the nation, we're a nation of Kiddush Hashem and a nation, you know, teaching the right ideas about God, and so far as a person is attacking, you must give your life to protect that religion, okay, to protect the das. So, for instance, so that's why, for instance, if a guy's doing something for his own pleasure, it has nothing to do with this altogether. Okay, so the guy's not attacking the religion; it has nothing to do with the religion. Okay, what we're saying is that since this is the religion, this is the true religion, which we hold should exist in the world, and so far as there is an attack on the religion, a person has to preserve the religion. And that's kind of like what the Rambam talks about in Yisrael Torah. You must protect the Torah at all costs. And if the Torah is under attack, you have to guard it. Okay, no matter what it takes. Okay, you can't participate in an attack on the Torah. Okay, the system. So, for instance, so in Shas HaShemar, let's start with Shas HaShemar. So Shas HaShemar is basically, that's what it says, there's a concerted effort to destroy the Torah. Okay, there's a concerted effort to destroy the Torah, and therefore you must stop that from happening. So that means is that you simply can't go along with anything they tell you to do. If they tell you to eat milk and meat, so that's their part of their campaign to destroy the Torah, and you can't go along with that. And if you do, I don't care if it's in private, it's in public, it doesn't matter. That's what's going on here. There's a campaign. The campaign doesn't have to be in private or in public. They don't care whether it's private or public. There's an overall, you know, whatever, like it's a time of persecution, and there's a persecution going on. And the persecution includes any which way which they could get people to violate the Torah, public or private. And anything you do is you're going to be participating in that destruction of the Torah. Okay? I mean, that's the easier one. Why should public or private have anything to do with it? Okay. But if it's not a time of persecution, then it's only if there's 10 people. So why? Okay, why? So the thing is, I guess, is that the system of the Torah, like, you know, the idea is that this is a system of Kiddush Hashem, and so far as someone is destroying that system, so you have to prevent that, right? You can't let them do that. Now, the system of Kiddush Hashem is like the Torah of the Pasuk says, "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." Kaddish Hashem Hashem, sanctify God's name amongst Klal Yisrael. Okay, it's a national phenomenon. There's no such thing as one person doing Kiddush Hashem. Okay, I mean, you could have whatever. The system of Kiddush Hashem is through Klal Yisrael, through a nation. One guy is one guy, but the idea of Kiddush Hashem takes place through an Am, okay, through a nation. Kiddush Hashem is a national idea. Okay, without an Am, your ability to Kiddush Hashem is very limited. And the system of the Torah is a system of Kiddush Hashem through the Am. That's the pasuk. V'soch b'nei Yisrael, amongst the group of b'nei Yisrael. So therefore, if a guy tells you to violate a mitzvah, one guy in private, that's not an attack on the nation. It's not an attack on the das, on the religion, on the Klal Yisrael, on the system of Kiddush Hashem. It's an individualized, isolated thing. Okay, see, Shas HaShemar is different. Shas HaShemar is, by its nature, it's an attack on the whole Klal. It's part of a movement against the Klal. So the whole thing, this is one isolated thing, it's part of a campaign against the Klal. That's, in fact, that's what he said. It is when a king gets up to destroy the dust. to destroy the religion. So that's intrinsically an attack on the Klal. But if you just have one guy who goes up to one other guy and says, I want you to violate the Torah, so that's not it doesn't register an attack on the Klal, because the Klal, the system, it's not an attack on the system. The system is a system for the Klal, for the Klal Yisrael. If there's a unit of Klal Yisrael present, okay, 10 people is, that's what the Rav has said, I mean, 10 people is like a miniature Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's like a minion. A minion is a tzibor. 10 people reflect the whole Klal. It's like an Eda. It's a pasuk of 10 is learned from an Eda, because Eda is like Meraglim, whatever, this whole thing. But that's the idea. That 10 people is like a miniature, is a reflection of Klal Yisrael. It's no longer an individual, but it's a reflection of the group, of the tzibor. Okay, that's the idea of the minion, right? That's when it's no longer individuals davening, but it's a tzibor. The 10 is like a component of Klal Yisrael. So the idea is that if you have, and this is what I want to say, is the chiddush here, is that it's not, what happens is that if he forces you to violate something in the presence of 10 Jews, there's like an implicit idea that the 10 Jews are allowing it to happen. Okay, and it's not that it's public. It's an idea is that it's like, look, all you Jews, watch this happen. Okay, and there's like the fact that this one guy violates and no one's doing anything about it, or no one could do anything about it, whatever, it's taking the unit. It's like they're all involved in this violation. Okay, through their witnessing it, the Kiddush Hashem takes place through the Klal being involved in a certain mission. And if the Klal is, if one guy is violating it and they're all sitting idly by watching this thing happen, so then that's a Chol Hashem. It's that now you have, that's an attack on the Klal. Because now the whole Klal, you good?
Yeah.
Okay, how long are we out for?
No, just
okay.
A second.
Yeah, okay, so then it's in front of the ten, if he's attacking the Torah in front of one person, in front of the group, so now it's like the group, the Klal, a miniature Klal Yisrael, is involved in watching the system being broken. So it's like they're all involved. Now it's an attack on the Klal. It's not just one individual. It's not an attack on one guy. It's not just forcing one guy to violate it. But they're all involved in the violation through their witnessing the thing and letting it... it's like, look, the Jews don't care. Look, he's just violating the Torah. The Jews are just sitting there. Nothing's happening. It's like, look, watch this, Jews. Like, it's an attack on the nation. Once there's just one guy or the idea of individuals, that then it's not, it doesn't rise to the level of an attack on the system. It's not just an attack on B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't undermine Mikdash itself, B'nai Yisrael. The Kiddush Hashem takes place through the system. And it's only where you involve the unit of Kiddush Hashem, which is the Klal, and then you violate the Torah in the presence of that unit, that you're undermining the system and the Kiddush Hashem of Klal Yisrael. Okay? But again, that's as opposed to Shas HaShmad, where Shas HaShmad, it intrinsically, by the context, by the time period, it's related to the whole Klal. The Klal doesn't have to actually be there. You don't need the 10 people to be there. The action itself is part of a greater context. This action is part of an attack on the Klal. The Shlomo Shmad, he's going after the whole Klal, and this is one part of that larger picture. So that is an attack on the Klal. But where it's not part of a greater context, it's just this action alone. If it's just one guy forcing one Jew, it's not an attack on the Klal, it's just attacking one guy. So he's trying to make one guy violate the thing. It doesn't undermine Kiddush Hashem because one guy does it. The Kiddush Hashem is accomplished through the Klal, and it's violated through the Klal. So Yachid, it just doesn't take place. There could be 1,000 guys in there. It doesn't matter, 1,000 guys, you see one guy, it's fine. So this one Jew violates it. Okay, big deal, one Jew. But that's not the system. It's just the Kiddush Hashem takes place through many Jews. And the Chol Hashem takes place through many Jews. But again, it's not that they have to all, they don't have to all do it. Them sitting there watching it happen is equal to them doing it. Okay, because they're allowing it. They're being maskim to it. They're letting it happen. So that so in the eyes of the forcer, of the guy who's forcing you, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. That's why it doesn't matter if there are a lot of guys. It doesn't have to do with public or private. It's an idea that they're all involved. The Jews are involved in the film. Yes, you're right. By the way, so when it's in private, so in terms of it's not an attack on the Klal, so therefore one guy could violate the Klal, because the guy is not attacking the system, he's just attacking that guy, that guy's personal attachments to the system, fine, so it's a personal thing. Now, the big three he can never do, because even on a personal level, those three are worth dying for. So then he's mechayev to do it. Insofar as, and there is going to be a kiddush Hashem, is the fact that Jews are willing to die for the big three. That, I mean, if people see that, that, but it's not intrinsically. It doesn't intrinsically have to be a public thing. It's not because it's being witnessed or because it's a public demonstration. It's an idea that Jews have to die for these three because they're significant, and therefore, if anyone knows about that or that the existence of that halacha is a kiddush Hashem. But it's not like a, it doesn't have to be a public demonstration. It doesn't matter who's around. But if you're talking about attacking the religion, so you have to attack religion as a national thing, and you have to be attacking the nation. You have to somehow be an attack on the nation. It can't just be an attack on an individual. And this is the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, where Mitzuvim to Mufarsin the Das HaEmes B'Rabim, which is to publicize the low near B'Kach, we're not afraid of anyone. Actually, even if someone forces us and tells us to deny the Torah, we're not going to listen, but we're going to give our lives over to be killed. And we're not going to let them think that they even just denied it, that we denied the Torah. So it's like, it seems to us like laying down. The essence of the Kiddush Hashem is the person is trying to deny the Torah, we don't let them do it. We have to be willing to stand up and give our lives, stand up no matter what, against the guy who's trying to undermine and attack the Torah. Seems like he's not talking about the big three. I mean, he's talking about, I mean, his example is about Zara, but I think his main, according to the way I'm learning, it's like the main idea is really, or at least it's a little bit funny, but the second ones are really the primary examples. It's not really the big three. But the idea, the prime of that idea is that if a guy, we have to publicize the true religion, and if a person is coming to destroy that religion, to cause us to deny that religion, we have to be willing to give our lives to stop that from happening. So it's what it's talking about. It's a guy who's really trying to break down the Torah. That's the case of the big three is a totally different thing, I'm saying. It's not because the guy's trying to break down the Torah. I mean, he's not trying to break down the Torah. He just wants to have pleasure. He just wants to, you know, whatever it is. But that's a different idea, is that we give our lives, we use chachma, and we decide that it's not right. We can't violate the Torah we can't do the big three no matter what. I mean, I still have to explain the Ben Oa thing. I'm not there yet. I'm still out of there. But again, I know there's different ways to go here. But I mean, I think, I guess we have to kind of compare them and how they answer all the questions. You know, I'll think about your approach also, you. Hmm. Okay, I mean, I think it's, yeah, I know that there's a different approach, and it's not like the questions force one approach. So, you know, my approach is not so much forced by the, you know, by any one question. It's kind of the overall thing. I mean, the Ben Oa one is, you know, I think is more significant, though it forced me into it than the other ones. Okay, but how it could be by Ben Oa, and why it's only in front of 10 Jews, and why it's only in Ben only in Farsia.
Doesn't the Ben Oa?
That's true. I mean, and Matt's mentioning is that the 10 people sitting by isn't just the whole idea is that we're our identity is we're committed to the existence of the Torah. It's not just that we do actions of the Torah, but we're committed to the existence. So if we sit there and watch it being violated, that the 10 guys sit there watching the is letting the Torah be violated. So it may be as an individual, I'm not doing it, but you can say I'm not doing it. It's like Arvas, you know, like Achech Tachiach. You're obligated to stop someone from violating the Torah, or you're responsible to help people to keep the Torah. We're a nation, and we're committed as a nation. And just to sit there and watch a guy do it, you don't just say, it has nothing to do with me. We're part of the Am, a segment of the Am, the miniature Am, is just letting the Torah be violated. And here we are, an Am, who's supposed to be standing by the Shem HaShem. So that itself is a break on the Shem HaShem, on the system of the Torah. But that's only if there's an Am. If it's not, Vigdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, that's what it says. The Kiddush Hashem takes place through the Klal. If they are just an individual, there's no Chal Kiddush Hashem, there's no Chil Hashem, it's not. Yeah, okay, so let's see if, so for tomorrow what we're going to try to do is we have to answer the question about Ben Noach. What's the Yibayah by Ben Noach? Right, what's the question whether it applies altogether? How could it apply? He's a Ben Noach, he's not Chal Yisrael. Altogether it sounds like a stretch. Why is it, even if you say it is, why is it only by Farhasya, not by Tzina? And why is it in front of 10 Jews, not 10 Bnei Noach? Right? And then you'll see that we raise one more question on the Gemara there, the Rambam. The Rambam proved that you count it as a separate mitzvah in Taryag because the Havmin in the Gemara that it would count as an eighth mitzvah. But that was only Havmin and not the Moskana. So, I mean, you could look at that. Maybe we'll get to that also. Okay?